in Western Australia. Compliments of important vital clues missed in hunt for Claremont serial killer S. West Australian newspaper. With important vital clues missed in hunt for Claremont serial killer S. NYT.BZ investigators notes attached. Vital clues missed in hunt for Claremont serial killer. Sunday the 1st of January 2017. The scene at the Continental Hotel in Claremont the Saturday night. The Devil's Garden, the Claremont serial killings by Debbie Marshall. This is a most important article detailing what the new set of police in charge of the Macro Task Force say are the three main clues that those previously in charge of the Macro Task Force missed when investigating the Claremont serial killings over the last 20 years. Driver's license of Karakata Cemetery victim is alleged to have been handled by the rapist and found by a local girl a year or so later. Note. This alleged clue seems extremely suspect because a driver's license found a year later could have been handled by anyone over that year. It would be easy for the police OT plant someone's DNA on this driver's license. 2. Fibers from a car seat allegedly found on the body of Jane Rimmer that matches a certain type of model car such as a Holden Commodore station wagons or sedan could have come from hundreds of actual cars, including an unmarked police car. Police used Holden Commodores all the time in the 1990s as unmarked police cars. It is doubted that any fibers from a Holden Commodore car found on the body of Jane Rimmer could to be easily be used as proof beyond reasonable doubt that the Holden Commodore station wagon that Bradley Edwards used in 1996 and 1997 came from Bradley Robert Edwards' particular car. It could have been one of hundreds of Commodore cars, including an unmarked police car driven by a policeman on or off duty, or driven by a friend of the policeman who borrowed the car, such as a girlfriend. In fact, a witness has made a sworn statement that she was the girlfriend of a particular Western Australian police officer, and that the police officer used to supply her illegal drugs such as crystal meth, heroin, cocaine, marijuana, and alcohol. This girlfriend of this Western Australian police officer was allowed by the Western Australian police and the police officer to drive the particular police officer's unmarked police car at any time of the day or night, speeding while drunk and high on illegal drugs without fear of being charged with any criminal offenses. In fact, when the girlfriend of this police officer was picked up by police speeding, way over the legal blood alcohol limit and high on illegal drugs, as soon as the police realized that the car was an unmarked police car normally used by this police officer, the police would immediately let the girlfriend of the police officer go, and allowed her to drive away drunk and with on illegal drugs uncharged with any criminal offenses. 3. The police allege that there is some sort of DNA evidence that was originally missed or overlooked that were found on the body of Sierra Glennon. Any alleged DNA evidence that has now been claimed to have been found on the body of Sierra Glennon after 20 years could well have been planted and falsified by the police. DNA of a person found on an item that is on the body of a deceased murdered person some 20 years later usually by itself is not sufficient to convict a person of a murder of that person. There are all sorts of possible explanations as to why a person's DNA has been found on an item that was attached to or on the body of the deceased murdered person. A lot depends on what type of item that the DNA was found on, or if the DNA was found on the skin or under the fingernails of the deceased murdered person, such as showing the DNA of a person under the fingernails of the deceased murdered person, which would strongly suggest that the deceased murdered person scratched the attacker at the time of the attack. Such DNA evidence would be a lot stronger against an accused person whose DNA matched DNA found under the fingernails of the deceased murdered person. It is noted that the police indicated that there was no DNA evidence found on the bodies of Sierra Glennon or Jane Rimmer, which maybe be because the murderer or murderers or original abductors were careful not to leave any DNA evidence on the body of the deceased murdered person or on any items of clothing or other items left on the bodies of Jane Rimmer and Sierra Glennon. Or, it could have been because of the amount of time between the time of the abduction and murder and the time the bodies were found was long enough for the weather and elements to have destroyed any possible DNA evidence. One would find it extremely difficult to believe that the person or people involved in the abduction and murder of Sierra Glennon, who committed this horrendous crime, were not clever and calculating enough to have worn gloves and other DNA leaving protection at all times when touching Sierra Glennon or any of Sierra Glennon's belongings, jewelry, rings, watch, clothes, etc., before or after Sierra Glennon disappeared and eventually murdered. The person or people involved in the abduction and murder of Sierra Glennon and Jane Rimmer was or were very clever, cunning, well planned, and obviously had a good knowledge of the way police investigate crimes, as the person or persons seemed amazingly confident about being able to commit these horrendous serious crimes and not be discovered and arrested. Either because the person or people involved made sure no possible clues were left for the police investigators to find or discover and there are no witnesses left alive that could talk or if still alive would be game to talk, for fear of their family or themselves also being murdered as well. Or, the person or people involved in committing these horrendous serious crimes or ordering these crimes to be carried out, knew that they were protected by the Western Australian police from being investigated and prosecuted for criminal behaviour. Either because the person or people were Western Australian police or the person or people knew that they were extremely confident of never being investigated or charged with any criminal offences because of some specific control, influence, or power they had and have in the police, courts, legal, business, media, finance and or political systems of Western Australia. The scene at the Continental Hotel in Claremont the Saturday night. Detectives missed three early opportunities that could have led them to the Claremont serial killer in the 1990s, according to the Post newspaper. The Western Suburbs paper, which has followed the case closely for 20 years, yesterday reported that the missed leads included clues left on the driver's license of a 17-year-old girl who was abducted and raped in 1995, a crime which police now believe was committed by the same offender. They also included car upholstery samples recovered from the body of second murder victim Jane Rimmer sent to the wrong chemistry center department in 1996 and lost, and a critical item, overlooked from the body of third victim Sierra Glennon. The 17-year-old was abducted from Roe Park opposite the Claremont Showground subway in February 1995, and raped at Karakata Cemetery. Post editor Brett Christian wrote that her attacker handled the victim's driver's license, which was later found discarded by a young local girl. He reported that detectives investigating the sex assault did not door knock in the area. It was not until more than a year later when Macro Task Force investigators looking for the killer of Sarah Spears and Ms. Rimmer did, and obtained the license. The second reported missed opportunity was when car upholstery samples recovered from the body of Ms. Rimmer were lost. They were found when the Chem Center moved to Bentley in 2011. When tested, the samples revealed crucial clues. The third reported missed opportunity was when a critical forensic item from the body of Ms. Glennon, murdered in 1997, was overlooked. It was tested in Britain well after 2004 and revealed the breakthrough clue. A WA police spokeswoman said, "As this matter is now before the courts and there remains an ongoing investigation, WA police will not be making any further comment." Further comment by an investigator for the NTY.BZ Claremont Serial Killers Investigation Team, NYT_CSKIT. A photo of the Hungry Jack's sign where boys were sitting just after 12 p.m. eating Hungry Jack's burgers when they saw Sierra Glennon walk past on Sterling Highway on early Sunday morning, the 15th of March, 1997. 1. The Western Australian Police Macro Task Force deliberately mispresented the truth of the Western Australian public and the Western Australian and Australian newspapers and TV networks by always for the last 20-odd years saying that the last known sighting of Jane Rimmer was on the video footage taken just after midnight on the 9th of June, 1996 on the famous video footage talking to a man outside the Continental Hotel in Bayview Terrace, Claremont, Western Australia. When as per the report given to the Western Australian Police by four 21-year-old university students, they saw Jane Rimmer hitchhiking on Sterling Highway at about 12:30 a.m. on the 9th of June, 1996 near the corner of Sterling Highway and Lock Street, Claremont, and was heading towards Nedlands of Perth and not heading towards Mossman Park of Wembley where Jane Rimmer lived. 2. The Western Australian Police Macro Task Force deliberately mispresented the truth of the Western Australian public and the Western Australian and Australian newspapers and TV networks by always for the last 20-odd years saying that the circumstances of the last known sighting of Sierra Glennon was that the boys sitting on the bus stop opposite Hungry Jack's actually saw Sierra Glennon leaning over on her knees talking to the driver of a light-colored vehicle on Sterling Highway, Claremont. When the boys has stated that they never saw any vehicle after seeing Sierra Glennon walk past them, and that they only say the back lights of a car that looked like the can maybe be putting its brakes on. But never actually saw Sierra Glennon standing taking to anyone in the car. This the reenactment on the TV program of the last sighting of Sierra Glennon was deliberately false. The question remains, if why did the Macro Task Force lied about the about last sightings of Jane Rimmer and Sierra Glennon? This is a question that the Commissioner of Police for Western Australia should answer to the Western Australian people and the New Labour Western Australian government and to the people of Australia as well. The other very disturbing thing is that there was so much evidence offered by the public over the last 20-odd years to the Macro Task Force appointed by the Commissioner of the Western Australian Police Service to investigate the Claremont serial killings, that the Macro Task Force have not bothered to properly investigate, and when they bothered to investigate it, it was a long time after the crimes have been committed, making it harder to collect the important evidence needed to apprehend the person to people involved in the Claremont serial killings. For example, their person who saw a taxi driver early in the morning without lights near where the body of Sierra Glennon was found about the time Sierra Glennon went missing, who said there was a person sitting on the back of the taxi. This is important independent evidence that fairly well proved beyond reasonable doubt that there was a taxi involved, a person who had access to a taxi involved, and that there was at least two people involved in the abduction and murder of Sierra Glennon, which fairly proves that the police are wrong in saying that Bradley Robert Edwards committed the abduction and murder of Jane Rimmer and Sierra Glennon all by himself. The evidence that a taxi was seen with a person and he back about where the body of Sierra Glennon was found about the time that Sierra Glennon was abducted fits in with the statement by Noel Jeffrey Coward, who said that there was this guy called Tony who was a taxi driver and a woman involved who sat in the back of the taxi where the bodies were dumped. A police insider in the Western Australian Police Force has stated that the Western Australian Liberal government run by Premier Colin Barnett and Attorney General and Minister of Commerce Michael Mischen MLC LLB, Hans B. Juris, Hans, and the Western Australian Commissioner of Police Carl O'Callaghan have organised and arranged the arrest of Bradley Robert Edwards on the Claremont serial killings as a way of helping them win the March 2017 Western Australian state election so that they could convince the Western Australian public that they have done a good job in solving crime in Western Australia. The fear is that they will now have Bradley Robert Edwards murdered in prison and make it look like a suicide to cover the fact that they may not have enough real evidence to bring Bradley Robert Edwards to trial and obtain a conviction. They have known for a long time that the Western Australian police have covered up for powerful people involved in the Claremont serial killings and desperately needed to convince the public that they have solved the Claremont serial killings. There is a new book being published and film being made called Missing, Abducted, Murdered in Western Australia, which exposes information that leads to those powerful people involved in the Claremont serial killings and how the Western Australian government and Western Australian police have constantly refused to accept any of the information that has been presented to them that would help solve the Claremont serial killings and other serious crimes committed in Western Australia over the last over 40 years. The late Leonard Walter, Len, Buckeridge, the 15th of June 1936, the 11th of March 2014, was a multi-billionaire Australian businessman known for founding the Buckeridge Group of Companies, BGC, who was a well-known Liberal Party funder, backer and close friend of all Liberal Party Western Australian premiers and Liberal Party Australian premiers, who is with his close friend and associate Colin Barnett, the Western Australian premier from 2008 to February 2017. And the Tony Abbott, the former Liberal Party Prime Minister of Australia at the Hyatt Hotel in 2003. Colin James Barnett, the Western Australian Liberal Party Premier of Western Australia from 2008 onwards, who is trying to be re-elected in March 2017 and well-respected Red Lodge Freemason. Colin James Barnett, born the 15th of July 1950, is an Australian politician who is the 29th and the Premier of Western Australia at February 2017. He is also the leader of the Western Australian division of the Liberal Party of Australia. Colin James Barnett had previously served as the state's leader of opposition and treasurer, as well as holding various other portfolios in Western Australia's cabinet. Colin Barnett was born in Nedlands, Perth. He graduated from the University of Western Australia with an economics degree, having lectured in economics at the Western Australian Institute of Technology and served as an executive director of the Western Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. He was elected to the Western Australian Legislative Assembly for the seat of Cottesloe at a by-election in 1990. Barnett served as a minister in the Court Cowan Ministry B from 1993 until its defeat at the 2001 election, after which he was made leader of the Liberal Party, replacing the outgoing Premier, Richard Court. Colin Barnett resigned as leader after the unsuccessful 2005 election, but regained the position prior to the 2008 election, where he was elected premier. Colin Barnett was sworn into office on the 23rd of September 2008 by Ken Michael, the governor of Western Australia at the time. At the 2013 election, Colin Barnett and his Liberal government were re-elected to a second term. Hon. Michael Mischen MLCLLB, Hans B. Juris, Hans, Attorney General underscore Minister for Commerce for Western Australia, who is trying to re-elected in March 2017, and well-respected Red Lodge Freemason. Former Director Mr. John Roderick McKechnie, Director of Public Prosecutions at the time of the Claremont serial murders, and then was appointed a Supreme Court Judge of Western Australia as a reward for not prosecuting certain powerful people in Western Australia and wrongly prosecuting others that were not guilty of any crime, and as a further reward has now been appointed at the new head of the Corruption and Crime Commission of Western Australia, and well-respected Red Lodge Freemason. Alistair Castairs-Borg, ex-deputy Western Australian pubic trustee and well-respected Red Lodge Freemason. Alistair Castairs-Borg, ex-deputy Western Australian pubic trustee, committed many serious crimes as a favour for powerful people in the Western Australian public trustee, Len Buckeridge, and those in charge of the Western Australian Liberal government, who signed many false and fraudulent affidavits in the Supreme Court prepared by Barrister David Lancelot Jones, Barrister Dr. John James Hockley and other lawyers and barristers, and instructed Barrister David Lancelot Jones, Barrister Dr. John James Hockley and other lawyers and barristers to tell lies in the Supreme Court and other courts on his own behalf, and also on behalf of the WA public trustees and the WA governments, who was rewarded in 2005 by being appointed the executive officer of the State Administrative Tribunal for Western Australia, in charge of $16 million running costs. Alistair Castairs-Borg, ex-deputy Western Australian pubic trustee, was one of the powerful people that John Roderick McKechnie, the former first director of public prosecutions for Western Australia, protected from criminal prosecution of any kind. Len Buckeridge was another. Claremont update. I will not confirm or disconfirm the media.